It is intentional. I took a sabbatical back in August, and I used half of it. The board awarded me 6 weeks during this calendar year, so that's been incredible. And so I used 3 weeks of it back in August, and I started talking with other pastors and reading, and I didn't start reading then. That sounded weird. I've read before then, but started reading things specific to, right, leadership and church growth and things that are happening. So this Sunday is going to be a little bit different, and so will the next one and the next one, and then we'll probably jump back into just me preaching regularly. But I just wanted to share with you guys what I've been working on, what God's been putting on my heart, and what I've been kind of walking through the church board and staff with, and now kind of bring it to you guys and hopefully just share some new mission, vision, and values. And so we'll walk through it here in a minute, but you know, it's no secret I inherited this church from Pastor Phil, who had been here for 41 years, and I worked under him for the last five of those. And so, you know, when leadership happens and change happens, you know, nobody loves change. I'm not a big fan of it either. I like comfort and knowing what's going to happen and where things are and what's going on. And this isn't me saying that we're going to change everything either. Don't shut me off yet. But you know, it takes a while to get comfortable enough to start doing things. And so we've worked on the reach up, reach in, reach out mission statement for a long time. And of course, that was reach up was through prayer and worship. It's me and God reaching up. And reach in was through fellowship and discipleship, which is not only inward discipleship inward, but within the church, reaching in fellowship and discipleship. And then reaching out was through missions and evangelism. And that's kind of what we'd operated on before I even hired on here as a youth pastor. And so we've had that for quite a while. And when you ask, you know, we did my renewal survey, and they asked about the mission statement and the vision statement. And I think my survey was the only one that had it on there. It's not something that we've promoted a whole lot. It's not something that we've been operating by. And so I want to just kind of get us back on track. We've had, it was installed officially in November 19, and we all know what happened in March of 20, and it's just kind of felt, I don't want to say stagnant. We've been doing a lot of things, and we'll talk about that this morning, but you know, it's just since COVID hit, the world is different, and you kind of feel like you're wandering or stuck. And so this is my attempt to kind of just get us together and rallied and get us moving forward into the future. So with all that being said, there is a full graphic that's going to go up. That's it's the mission statement and the vision statement and the core values. And I think we have that up there, Rose. Should be the next one. But it's, well, I'll wait here because I don't want to read without you guys seeing it. I did it. I broke them. I knew it was going to happen, right? Oh, I know. Switch things up and then I get myself in trouble. Well, anyway, we've been working on this for a good amount of time, and I've been hesitant in bringing it to you guys, and I also have been, here we go, there it is. I wanted to preach this way so I don't use language that I don't want to use. Does that make sense? Most weeks I'm off, you know, I'll put a sentence or two on a slide and I'll just kind of talk, right? And I want to be able to make sure that I'm communicating this well. So for us, a mission statement that God has laid on my heart, and we've worked through the board and the staff and we kind of agreed on this stuff. Our mission statement is connecting people with Jesus, building community, transforming lives. Our vision statement would be intentionally investing in a relationship with God and others, bridging the gap between church and community through serving, meeting needs, and community engagement. And then submitting to the power, discernment, and guidance of the Holy Spirit to become more like Christ. And then I put six core values down here too. This is what we are about. This is what we value as a church. Number one is gathering. We value regularly gathering as a body of believers for corporate worship. That's what we're doing this morning. We value that as a church. We value community, small group community environment or small group environments that produce community with others through the small groups that we already have in Sunday school and then more that we would like to start. We value serving. We value the giving of ourselves by serving others. Generosity. We value living a life of generosity and giving faithfully. Invitation. We value personal invitation to help others take the next step in their spiritual journey. And then lastly, holiness. Not lastly, there's no order here, but we value holiness. We value a holiness lifestyle that is honoring to God. And we're going to work through each of these sections the next 3 weeks. So I want to be very intentional about us knowing what we believe, why we exist, and what we value. So all that being said, we are going to go through the mission statement today. That's kind of what I'm going to be preaching on and what we're going to be, I'm going to share with you the scripture behind it. Now, if you were at our Blue River launch, I preached through this whole thing quickly, and so you've heard some of this, but we're going to go through it a little more in depth here. So our mission statement is connecting people with Jesus, building community, transforming lives. Mission statement is simply a proclamation as to why we exist as a church or an organization. I mean, any organization usually has a mission statement, and it's why we exist. What are we here for? So the point of a mission statement is to keep us focused, keep us in line. Everything that we do needs to point back to these three things: connecting people with Jesus, building community, and transforming lives. So when somebody asks you the question, you know, what's your church all about? And you're like, well, we meet on Sundays, there's some music, we do, you know, there's some small groups and stuff, we have this trunk or treat thing that's really huge, you know, we have a basketball league. Instead of having to go through what we do, we can simply say, well, we're about connecting people with Jesus, building community, and transforming lives. It's a neat little package that we can articulate to whoever we're inviting to church, whoever's asking about our church, what's that place all about? We can say, this is what we're about. Now, I'm not saying we haven't been about this. I think we've very much been about this, and I think you guys would do a really good job, and I'm going to highlight some of that stuff here in a minute. But to be able to articulate it to people neatly and quickly is, I think, an important thing. So we're going to work through the section that is connecting people with Jesus. Romans 1:16 says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." So we exist to keep all people, or to connect all people we come across to Jesus, whether it's the Jew or Gentile. Now, in that day and age, Jew or Gentile was, that's a nice way of saying everyone, right? So for us, it's, you know, rich, poor, no matter what race or background or ethnicity, we are here to connect anyone we come across to Jesus. That needs to be our objective, and that's why we've put it first in the mission statement. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says this, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God." I used to attend college. It's been every year it gets further away. It's weird how that happens. I don't see myself as an older I'm not older, but I don't see myself as this person who's, you know, old enough to have 3 kids and a mortgage and cars and stuff. Like, I still kind of see myself as just out of college, and it's just false, right? But a long time ago, I was in college at Olivet Nazarene University, and if you've ever been to Olivet on campus, anybody been to Olivet in their life before? Nice, cool, good deal. So when you pull onto campus, depending on which way you go in, but off of, I don't know if it's Armor Road, whatever it is, there's a admissions building, and it's kind of right off to the side there. It's one of the first buildings you see. And when they use the word in the scripture ambassador, it made me think of Olivet, because the people that I lived with, my roommates, they were admissions ambassadors. And what that means is they would get dressed up really nice and they would go to admissions and they would give tours to prospective students, to people that are on college visits, so on and so forth. They'd give tours of the school, and their job was to promote the school, talk about how good it was, talk about why you should be here. Here's what we offer. This is, this is what my life was like before I came to this school, and this is what it's like now. And you should join this thing because it is good, and it will benefit you, and you'll get it. You know, the job placement transfer rate is really good. And they would go through this whole spiel for like an hour with people, and they would take them to different buildings and show them what the school had to offer and what they did, and they would, you know, introduce them to professors and all these different things. But they were ambassadors of the school. I think when we talk about being an ambassador of Christ, I think we're expected to be the same way, not to try and sell a school, but to tell people why it matters to follow Jesus and why it matters and what kind of difference it's made in our lives. God's plan is to use the church to grow and advance his kingdom here and now. So if we're going to thrive as a church, we have to be Christ's ambassadors. If we're going to grow and we're going to thrive, it can't just be me saying stuff and like hoping the live stream gets out to enough people. And it has to be individuals taking ownership of their faith and being an ambassador of that, not with a bullhorn freaking everybody out, but being able to say, this is the difference that Christ has made in my life, and be able to tell people that when the opportunity arises. If we're going to thrive as a church, we have to be Christ ambassadors. So, what are we already doing in the area of connecting people with Jesus? Because, again, I want this to be an encouragement, not a, we're not doing good enough. Like, I think, you know, no one's ever good enough, right? We can always do more. But what are we already doing in this area of connecting people with Jesus? Because maybe you're newer here, or maybe since COVID things have happened and you just don't know. Maybe you haven't stayed for our annual meetings and you don't know what all we offer with this stuff. So in the area of connecting people with Jesus, we offer obviously weekly worship services where people can come in and they can get teaching and preaching and understand Scripture better. They can worship, they can connect with each other, and ultimately connect to Jesus. We also have weekly prayer meetings, and we have monthly prayer meetings that happen Wednesday nights. We have our prayer meeting that meets at 6:30 to 7:30, and then monthly we have men's prayer breakfast that meets on the first Saturday of every month, and then the Lenten season, they meet every week. So we are doing these weekly and monthly prayer events, helping to connect people better to Jesus. We have small groups and Sunday school classes. We honestly, I don't know, maybe Saturday. I think we offer something almost every day of the week. There is a small group or a Sunday school class meeting throughout the week. So we're offering these discipleship type environments that people can connect with Jesus better. We also offer Right Now Media as a church. It's been a long time since we've promoted that, and a lot of you are on it, but we offer a subscription-based service to, it's like 10,000-plus video-driven Bible studies that can help you, you know, if you're like me and you just don't have the attention span to sit and read all the time, it can help you with personal devotion or with family devotion. There's tons of stuff for kids and all these, there's all these resources on there that you can get a hold of in your personal life. We also offer all kinds of events and seminars. We had an anxiety seminar event this year. We've had the ladies' tea where we brought in a speaker, and there's all kinds of events that we do throughout the year. And then lastly, most recently, on January 8th, we launched a second campus at Blue River Valley Church of the Nazarene. And so we are not doing nothing in the area of connecting people with Jesus. We just, we obviously can do more, and we want to implement more, but this is what we're already doing, and I just want to put a name with it. So at our church, we exist to connect people with Jesus. So the question is, individually, what are we doing? What are we doing individually to connect people with Jesus? Are we praying with people? Are we bringing up conversation with them? Are we serving them? Are we loving them? What are we doing individually in our own lives outside of this building to connect people with Jesus? The church was never meant to be a place for evangelism. Isn't that funny? We kind of use it that way now, but it was never, the church was a meeting for believers, right? To empower and inspire believers to go out and do ministry and minister to people. It was never a, hey, come to church so you can get saved. It's come to church to get empowered to go out and show people who Jesus is. And so what are we doing individually to connect people with Jesus? Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. This is the Great Commission. It's, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That was Jesus' last words in the flesh to his disciples. We are called as a church and individuals to connect people with Jesus. That is our primary job. That is why a church exists. That's why Christians exist, is to point people back to Jesus. All right, the second part of this mission statement is building community. Building community. Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3 says this, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore." It is pleasant to dwell in unity. It is pleasant to be in unity, and the Lord blesses it. It is good when churches are in unity and in community together. Man, you guys look like you're just getting lectured. Does it feel that way? You guys are just really, really, all right, well, at least you're paying attention. It is pleasant to dwell in unity. It is good for people to be in unity and community, and the Lord blesses that. The world is different now, amen? Yeah, it feels different, right? It's not the same as what it was. No matter what, going into stores, going into sporting events, schools, churches, everything is different. It has a different feel. We are living in, I guess, a post-COVID world, right? COVID obviously isn't—it's a virus. It's a new thing we have to live with, but we're living in a post-lockdown from COVID world where everyone has kind of been given permission to just decommit, right? And it feels that way, and I know it's true because I have felt that way. It's a lot easier to send a text message that just says, no thanks, right? Or I've got other plans. Even if you don't have other, if your other plans are just to not have plans, it's much easier to not commit to things now. We live in a world like you see on the screen. COVID, again, this was all happening. COVID accelerated this. Society was heading this way. Don't mistake this. But it got accelerated so quickly. We don't have to go. We can find jobs where we don't have to go to work. I get advertisements all the time on social media for jobs that they say you don't have to leave your house or talk to anyone, and you can work full-time with benefits. That's different, right? That's not something we were used to. You can Zoom in or listen in or do data input or whatever. If you want to, you don't have to go to work anymore. And you have to work, but you don't have to go physically. You also don't have to go shopping anymore. You can, if you don't like the pickup order where you just go and they put it in your trunk and you drive away, you can do Instacart and have it delivered to your house. You can not eat out anymore. You can order DoorDash or Uber Eats and you can have it delivered to your doorstep. And then we've all been fans for years now of Amazon Prime, right? I think I came up on my like 10-year anniversary of being an Amazon Prime member. It is useful, right? We use this stuff because, frankly, it's awesome. We don't have to, you know, remember when you used to have to like punch and wrestle during Black Friday? And now it's like the week before, you just click a button and you're like, all right, done. It's not there. I mean, some of you enjoyed the wrestling and the fighting, but for most of us, we enjoy not having to leave our house for everything. And so the world that we live in is much, much different. People only have to leave their house when they want to. Isn't that a weird thought? We live in a world where people only have to leave their house when they want to. Man, it's kind of nice, right? But it's also bad for community. People will no longer wander into a church. It's not going to happen. There's anxiety socially. There's, you know, these things are being pushed for a reason, right? Because they work. Because people want to be at home. They want to not have to be in situations they don't want to be in or that would make them uncomfortable. So people aren't going to just wander into a church uninvited or knowing nothing about it, right? They're going to do their research. They're going to want to have someone connected there. It's how our society works. I mean, we might get a few people that are extroverted and like to, you know, still wander into places and check new things out, but society has shifted and changed. So community, not food or clean water or shelter or clothing, but community becomes one of the biggest needs in our demographic. And where we are geographically placed, community is one of the biggest needs. And community, at this point, has become countercultural. Isn't that a weird sentiment? We live in communities, but true community is countercultural now. It isn't the norm. So loving people, walking with people, including people, is not the norm anymore. In fact, the norm is to find people that think how you think and talk with them online about how bad everybody else is. Right? Okay, good. I know I'm not crazy. Loving people, walking with people, including, well, thanks, Austin. I am probably crazy, but in that area. Loving people, walking with people, including people, is not the norm. So we can do something countercultural and therefore attract people. You can't impress someone to church anymore. That's the other thing. There's nothing we could put, there's no amount of lighting or speakers or pastors or anything that would impress people enough to come to church. Everybody has this, right? I can see the best worship band, the best pastor, and the best prayer and announcement giver. I can find whatever I want on here, and it's anything we can do at a local level is never going to impress someone enough to come to church because we have access to literally everything. People are craving real relationships. That's what's going to draw people into church, and that's what's going to keep them at our church, is real relationships. So no preaching or music or event is ever going to keep people in church, but real relationships will. Now, events and music and things people might check us out because of an event, but they're not going to stay. You know, they're not going to stay because we did Trunk or Treat in October. They're going to stay because someone has invested in them and brought them into their small group and has built a real relationship with them. Relationship writes a litany of wrongs. That church doesn't play music I like, or the facility has limits, or the preaching's terrible, amen. It's not modern enough, or it's too modern, or they don't have enough money to do, you know, what they need to do. Relationships kind of scrub all that out. They make that stuff kind of go away. The second thing, so that's community within the church. The other thing that is within this building community that I wanted to talk about is bridging community. So bridging community is building community. What I mean by that, We'll give a scripture here. Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16 says this, and this will be really familiar to you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I think the point that Jesus is making in this scripture is that salt and light are valuable. They were very valuable things to this society that he's talking to. Why? Well, because salt was used medicinally, it was used to preserve meat, it was used for a litany of things. They would actually, this is kind of gross, but you know, they all had livestock that they would either ride or use to work, so they would sprinkle salt on the manure to make it not smell so bad. There was lots of different uses for salt. It was very valuable. And then obviously, we all know that light is a valuable resource, right? You can't see if you don't have light. You need to see to do things. So I think if Jesus were telling our culture specifically this, it would be like refrigeration and medicine and electricity, right? Those are things that we rely on, that they're very valuable. If we want to eat, we need to refrigerate our food. If we want to see, we have light switches that turn lights on and off. And if we're sick, we have medicine. It's very valuable stuff. So in reading and thinking through that for this, you know, since August, I think a healthy place for us to be as far as bridging community and church is that we need to be so valuable to our community that it would be devastating if we closed. Like, our church needs to be so valuable, so useful to our community that if we were to shut down, if Middletown Church of the Nazarene closed, that Middletown, Indiana would not be able to survive. I know that sounds dramatic, and it is, right? But that's where we need to be thinking. That's where we need to be so valuable. We need to be the salt and light of our community that without us, we wouldn't be able to survive. So how would Middletown survive if MCON closed? That's where we need to be. And we need not just us, but our community needs to feel that. What would we do without that place? They love us so well. They're so welcoming. They do so much for our community. So, again, not that we're doing a bad job. Let's go through what we're doing already for this. First thing that we've talked about this morning already is Midtown Sports. We do a basketball league that essentially has all the kids in our community in it. That is a huge ministry and a huge bridge builder to our community. Can we do a better job of grabbing some relationships in that? Yes, we definitely could, and we're working on those things as a staff as well. Trunk or Treat is another one where our entire community is here on our property. Phil has called it, you know, God or Middletown's gift to the community. We have the ARC Daycare and Preschool, which has around 200 students enrolled from our community. That is a huge bridge builder, and we have a huge mission field in that every day in our church. We also we have an agreement with a homeschooled soccer league that uses our back 15 acres or so, and they've got three soccer fields out there, so there's 150 kids from the Tri-County area and their families that are on our church property from August until October using our facility and partnering with us. We also have Bible Study Fellowship, where between 200 and 300 women every Monday night that isn't a summer night are here using our facility and in a really strong discipleship program. We're doing a lot of things to bridge that gap between church and community. So I don't want, again, I want this to be an encouragement. We're doing a good job at this, but there is more that we want to do, and that specifically, I would love for you to come next week so I can lay out some vision for how we can build more strong bridges with the community. So we'll talk about our vision statement next week. So the question with this middle part is, how are we building community individually? How are we building community individually in our own lives? Are we taking people to meals? Are we leading small groups or joining small groups? Are we opening our homes to people? Are we, if we're a wiser couple that might not have kids in the home anymore, have we taken a young family under our wings and helped with babysitting and giving advice and maybe paying for a dinner every now and then? Are we building strong community individually? We are called as a church and individuals to build and bridge community. And the third one, transforming lives. This one might feel a little more like preaching. Romans 12:2 says this: "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So when we encounter Jesus and we live in community, we begin to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. When we invite Jesus into our heart, when we come into a relationship with Jesus, we receive salvation and then we receive the Holy Spirit. Just the same Holy Spirit that the disciples received on Pentecost, the actual Spirit of God. So Paul says when that happens, our mind is renewed. We don't think the way we used to think anymore. We think eternally versus short-term gratification. We start investing our time in things that we will see in eternity that will matter when our physical life here on earth is over. When our thoughts change, our vision changes. We see people differently. We don't look at people as an obstacle or an enemy or a setback or an annoyance, but we look at them as a brother or a sister in Christ that we are here to be in unity and harmony and partner in ministry with, one who is made in the image of God. When we encounter Christ, the Holy Spirit begins to transform our entire lives. When our lives are transformed, we look different, we act different, we post on social media differently, we don't fit in with the way the rest of the world wants us to fit in or looks like. Life transformation isn't just committing to going to church every week, but it's changing every area and every aspect of your life. I think the fruits of the Spirit are in Galatians 5. Forgive me if that's wrong. I think it's 5:22 through 26. It says this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." Before the fruits of the Spirit, Paul lists off a litany of things that are bad, right, that we shouldn't be into. And then he says, but if we've been transformed, if our lives have been transformed by the Holy Spirit, this is the kind of fruit that will be produced and that we will see. So now, when there used to be hate, there is love. And when there used to be sadness and anger, the Holy Spirit is bringing about joy. When there used to be worry or anxiety, now there is peace. When there used to be hurry and rushing, there's now patience. Where there was mean-spiritedness, or where we used to be mean-spirited and like to poke fun at and make fun of people that weren't like us, there's now kindness. When we were inconsiderate, there is now goodness. When there was no faith or loyalty, there is now faithfulness. When we were abrasive, there is now gentleness. When we were impulsive, there is now self-control. Anybody feel that in their lives? I mean, really, do you feel? I mean, you don't think about the difference that having the Holy Spirit has made in your life very often, but when you really look at the situations you go through and you display these fruits of the Spirit and you use things like patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, and you think, man, that really isn't me, is it? if it's me, I'd be back on the hate, anger, sadness, worry. I would be on that train, left to my own power. These fruits will show up in your life as you are transformed by the Holy Spirit. That's the goal of God for you individually and for our church. A church that displays the fruits of the Spirit is an attractive church. Which one would you pick? A church that is kind and gentle and patient and loving and joyful, or a church that is mean and yells a lot and fights and is impatient and miserable? Yeah, we're going to pick the first one, right? That's a no-brainer, obviously. That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to display these fruits of the Spirit which come from Him. These are characteristics of the Spirit of God that we then get through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have to submit to the power of the Holy Spirit to bring about life transformation. This is not something we do on our own. This isn't something we can achieve on our own. This is something that we have to have the Holy Spirit for. And if we're going to be a church that is about transforming lives through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have to first submit to the power of the Holy Spirit. There's no way to achieve transformation under our own power. So we are called as a church and as individuals to be infilled and transformed by the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to leave you with three questions today. What are we doing as a church? Four questions. The first one, are we connecting people with Jesus as a church? Are we connecting people with Jesus? Are we building community and our lives being transformed? God's desire for our church is to change our community for His kingdom. It's very biblical, very simple. God's desire for our church is to change our community for His kingdom. So our mission statement is why we exist. We exist to connect people with Jesus, to build and bridge community, and to transform lives. So next week, we're going to cover the vision statement. I'll read it really quickly, but that is, if the mission statement is why we exist, the vision statement is how we get there. Does that make sense? So that's what we'll talk about next week. It would have taken me 3 hours to preach all of this in one Sunday. So I'm just please show up the next 3 weeks and I won't take your lunch time, I promise. So the vision statement next week will go over intentionally investing in a relationship with God and others, bridging the gap between church and community through serving, meeting needs, and community engagement, and submitting to the power, discernment, and guidance of the Holy Spirit to become more like Christ. That's what I have for you this morning. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for being a God who is still alive, still giving vision, giving mission to your people. I just pray this morning that as I've worked through this for the past few months and as our board and staff have walked through it, and now we're beginning as a church to take these steps through what it is you're calling us to and how we're going to get there. But God, most importantly, I just pray that you would help us to do these three things, to be about these three things, and that everything we do as a church and as individuals would point back to those three things of connecting people with Jesus, of building community, and of transforming lives. Help us to submit to the power of your Holy Spirit. There's no way we can produce this stuff on our own. There's no way we could be loving and joyful and patient and so on without your help, without the help of the Holy Spirit living within us. So as we leave this place today, God, just I ask that you would inspire us to live lives on mission, to be a church on mission, to know this is why we exist and everything we do is going to point back to this. We thank you for who you are, for what you're doing in our lives, for the work that you're doing in this church, for these incredible ministries that are already happening through these incredible people that make up the Middletown Church of the Nazarene. I pray that we would dive even deeper and do even more to advance your kingdom in our community. We love you and we praise you this morning. We just ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. The band's going to sing a song. I know we're about 5 minutes over. We have another thing we've started to help connect people with Jesus, as we've got a few individuals who are going to be over here on the your right-hand side of the room, away from cameras, away from all that stuff. If you would like somebody to pray with you, maybe you're carrying a burden, maybe you have a friend who's going through a rough time and you just want to pray for them and share that with somebody, or maybe you have never come into relationship with Jesus, there's going to be a handful of people over here ready to pray with you. And we're going to be doing that every Sunday from here out. So as the band sings, I just ask you to stand, reflect, and our altars are always open. It's a great place to come and pray.